Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A temporary lockdown at the U.S. Capitol has been lifted after law enforcement officials realized that a plume of smoke that prompted evacuations during a rehearsal for President-elect Biden's inauguration came from a fire at a nearby homeless encampment. Officials say the fire has been extinguished, there were no injuries, and it was not a threat to the inauguration. The inauguration's in 2 days and will be unlike any other because of both the coronavirus pandemic and the extraordinary security measures in place following the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The National Mall's closed to the public. NPR's Claudio Grisales says extensive vetting is underway among those assigned to protect Washington, D.C. when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are sworn in as president and vice president, respectively.
Yesterday, the Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the Associated Press that officials are also doing additional screening of their own members, 25,000 of them, involved in securing the inauguration to address any concerns of insider threats. But despite all of these efforts, Biden and Harris say they're determined to take this oath of office outside the west front of the Capitol, as is tradition.
NPR's Claudia Grisales. Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, who led efforts to challenge Biden's election victory, are facing a growing backlash following the deadly violence at the Capitol. Here's NPR's Amy Held.
More than a dozen corporations have suspended donations to GOP lawmakers who voted to reject election results. And Lowe's Hotels has announced it's canceling a fundraiser for Senator Josh Hawley. He and Senator Ted Cruz led objections to Arizona and Pennsylvania's results based on conspiracy theories of widespread fraud, even after a pro-Trump mob fueled by the same baseless claims attacked the Capitol. This week, a Democratic super PAC is launching an ad campaign saying Cruz and Hawley must be held accountable for inciting insurrection. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, a moderate, says the Senate should consider removing them. But both Cruz and Hawley, widely considered to be eyeing a presidential run, have said they're not going anywhere. Amy Held, NPR News.
One of Russian President Vladimir Putin's most vocal critics is now under court order to spend 30 days in jail. Alexei Navalny just got back from Germany, where he spent months recovering from nerve agent poisoning he blames on Putin's loyalists. NPR's Lucien Kim has more on the judge's ruling against Navalny.
The judge made the ruling after holding an improvised court proceeding in a police station outside Moscow. Navalny, who has built his base via social media, appealed to supporters on YouTube. Don't be afraid, he said. Take to the streets. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourselves and your future. The Kremlin has been cracking down on all dissent, punishing simple forms of protest with stiff punishments. Amnesty International has designated Navalny a prisoner of conscience. Lucien Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
This is NPR. There has been widespread condemnation of a deadly attack in the Afghan capital where gunmen opened fire on a vehicle transporting female judges. The gunmen killed two of the women and injured another. NPR's Dia Hadid has details.
The women were targeted in a relatively quiet, upscale area of Kabul. They were just the latest victims of a spate of assassinations, which began spiking in September last year, just as peace talks started between the Afghan government and the Taliban. Militants have targeted government authorities, security officials, journalists, judicial workers, and civil society activists. It appears that they are seeking to peel away Afghanistan's most educated layer of society that was built up over the past two decades since the fall of the Taliban. But it's not clear who's behind these assassinations. Most of these murders have gone unclaimed. Many Afghan residents blame their government for the security breakdown. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Islamabad.
An American member of an international science delegation investigating the coronavirus's origins is asking China to give the team access to former patients, caregivers, and lab workers. The U.S. is asking China to share all studies of animals, humans, and environmental samples taken in Wuhan, where the first outbreak was reported in late 2019. Many scientists suspect the virus, which has killed more than 2 million people worldwide in less than a year, may have jumped to humans from bats or other animals. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.